This is He Said, Then She Said, a podcast series of conversations with Jewish and Gentile couples from around the world. I'm your host, Tovia Zaretsky. My interest in cultural anthropology has led me to research, for more than two decades, the intercultural challenges of intermarried and dating couples as they describe them in their own words. These conversations provide an authentic voice into how they've navigated those unique and complex challenges and some of the satisfying resources that they've found in their relationships. I hope you find today's program informative and enjoyable. Hi, this is Tuvia Zaretsky with Jewish Gentile Couples, and I'm delighted to be with Sam and Val Bodbal today. This is several months after the October 7, I want to call it a massacre, that Israel. And our hope is to share a little bit of what it has been like to be a Jewish Gentile couple discussing those matters and looking at the vulnerability that Gentile partners have seen in Jewish partners and experienced themselves and what they've learned from that. So, Val, Sam, welcome.
Thank you.
Hi.
Sam, I'm going to let you get started here just so folks get to know you. First of all, your mom came from Poland and Morocco. Your dad came from Morocco and Argentina, and they're both Jewish.
Yes.
Where'd they meet? What was that like? And you were born where?
Okay, so yes, my family's history comes from a long line of migration. My father was born in Argentina and my mother was born in Venezuela. But from my father's side, my father's father, he was born in Morocco but grew up in Argentina. And my father, as I said, he was born in Argentina but grew up in Venezuela. My father's mom is from Argentina, from Jewish Spanish descent. Also, from my mother's side, my mother's father comes from Morocco. And my mother's mother was born in Venezuela, but from Poland. They met in Venezuela. That's where they got married. I was born there, and I grew up in Costa Rica.
And in your teenage years, you visited Israel?
Yes. As soon as I finished high school, we took a year course with the youth movement in Israel.
Okay. And when you're growing up in Costa Rica, you went to a Jewish school?
Yes. So I had a very full Jewish life. I grew up in a Jewish traditional home. I did go to a Jewish school, and every single morning we attended synagogue. The community I grew up in Costa Rica is an Orthodox community. It was like the biggest Jewish community there in the capital city, San Jose. So they were the ones that owned the sports club, the youth movement, the school. So many of the institutions I attended had a Jewish Orthodox background. So yes, we went to synagogue every single morning from Monday to Friday. On Saturday, I will go to the youth movement. And Sunday, I will share also with my Jewish friends. So most of my background was around that.
You went back to Israel when you were 18?
Yes. So going to Israel on my year course, it was my first time I felt at home. After living a full Jewish life in the diaspora, I always learned what Israel could look like, might look like. And then I arrived there and it was way more than I could even imagine. I remember just walking down the streets and recognizing the street names of important Jewish characters from history that I've learned. I remember on Shabbat, buses stopping and everyone resting at home, at least in several cities like Jerusalem. So it was very impressive because I felt for the first time I was in a place where my culture was all around.
So what'd you do about that?
So I came back to Costa Rica after my year course, and I felt I wanted to go back to Israel. So I made Aliyah, which means going back to Israel.
Well, it's more formal than that.
Yeah, I migrated and became an Israeli citizen.
Okay.
Yeah, I got my Israeli nationality and passport, and also served in the army for 2 years.
Okay. Now, all this was well before you met Val.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to turn to you, young lady. Very different background and experience growing up in Costa Rica.
Yeah, I grew up in Costa Rica. I was born there, and my family is also from Costa Rica. Very different from the world that Sam is sharing. I grew up in a Christian family. Yeah, in a very rural area of Costa Rica.
What was your mom and dad were both involved in ministry?
Yeah, so they have been involved in ministry. They are mobilizers of the church. And so I usually say that my testimony of believing in Yeshua comes from them.
Yeshua meaning?
Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't grow up calling him Yeshua, though.
No, that is very recent. So that happened after I met Sam. We had this story where we got to know each other at a work, doing some interpretation. And
you were translators?
Yeah, yep. Interpreters.
Okay.
And it happened to be that we liked each other a lot. And we got to start to meet each other. And I found out that he was Jewish, or that he is Jewish. And I was born and raised as a Christian. So that started a whole conversation about our values and our faith.
Let me step back a little bit. You were educated in a couple of fields that were very related. So tell us a little bit about your college education.
Mm-hmm. So my background is in sociology and also in dance, contemporary dance. And so I think sociology it helped me to understand better societies and just like the way systems work together to make function society. And that led me to a path of serving youth in Costa Rica. And actually, that was one of the ways that Sam and I got connected.
How is that?
So I was, by the time we were meeting each other, I was working a project with UNICEF Costa Rica. I was facilitating a program on emotions and like healthy emotions and how to get to identify your emotions and how to address them in a healthy way. And Sam came along me and we facilitated the program together. And that was a great way to get to know each other and also get to know the values he had and the values I had. And I think it was a great space to interact and just get to know each other in a different like level.
So that's kind of the direction we're going with this, some of the differences in our experiences. Sam, had you ever had any experience with anti-Semitism growing up?
Yes, many. Before Costa Rica, my first experience with anti-Semitism was when I was a little kid. I was part of the soccer club in Venezuela, in the Jewish community in Venezuela, and we would go out and compete with other schools. But I remember one of our first games playing with a team that wasn't from the Jewish community. There was an incident in which the parents were screaming anti-Semitic slurs to us. We were just little kids playing soccer. And I remember them telling their kids like, yes, hit that Jew or kill them or things like really harsh things. But specifically identifying us as Jews. Mm. And I remember that was the first time I started questioning myself. Like, I was born in Venezuela, I have a Venezuelan passport, Venezuelan nationality, but they see me as a foreigner.
Now, I know your parents are incredibly loving. They're just an amazing family. Did they talk with you about what anti-Semitism was like?
I don't recall a specific time where they came to me and share about that, but it has always been present, like mm-hmm. in our conversations with family, with friends, at school. Like, this is something it has always been present. And we've been all of our lives since little being preparing for moments like this. And then growing up, I got involved with the Jewish youth movement. And in there, I was able to see also how anti-Semitism looks like, not only locally where I was, but internationally in Europe and through history. So I've been very well aware of this. But I have to tell you that even though I learned the history, even though I learned the theory, even though I prepared myself for different scenarios and how to respond, I never would have guessed I was going to leave it so closely here in the United States in 2024.
Yeah, yeah. Val, when you were growing up, did you know very many Jewish people?
No, my grandmother used to work for a Jewish family. They were dentists and she helped them in that field. But and then my dad, in his field of work, he has worked with different Jewish people, but not me personally, like getting to know anyone, not having like Jewish friends growing up.
What did you know about Jews? What did you think about Jews as you were growing up?
Mm-hmm. No, the Jewish community in Costa Rica is a very thriving community. And that's something that I just knew. Occasionally, I would see someone like walking on a Saturday to the synagogue. But that was very isolated. And I think the Jewish understanding I had before meeting Sam was just that Jesus grew up as a Jew and that the apostles were Jews. And I think that's it. And just like the stories of the Old Testament about the kings and the prophets.
Did you ever relate those biblical accounts, the narrative of the kingdom of Israel in the time of King David or the prophets or the disciples? Did you relate that concept of Jewish people to the Jews that you saw in San Jose, Costa Rica?
No, not at all. I think it was in the, like, my understanding back then was like, oh, just like the chosen people, you know, like they are the chosen ones. But I didn't see the connection of the present, like, Jewish community in Costa Rica and the stories that I was reading from the Bible.
We got to know one another as you two were dating and you were getting really serious. And how did you realize that Sam was Jewish and that was different than your upbringing?
I think like the most was when we were talking about possible like wedding ceremony. And I was imagining something different from him. And
what were you imagining?
I was imagining us like praying in Jesus' name. And I was talking to him about that. And he was like, wait a second. Like, you'll do yours and I'll do my Jewish prayers. And I think that was the moment when I said like, okay, I need help.
Sam, when you guys were having that conversation, did you ever talk to Val about how your family would view all of that going on in the middle of the wedding ceremony, or was that an issue?
Yeah, no, I think that was precisely part of the conversation. I think at that point, I already felt a little bit more comfortable with her praying in Jesus' name. Like, that was not foreign for me. I do remember the first time she prayed in Jesus' name for me, and I felt really weird. But then as the relationship continued and we got to know each other more, like, I became way more comfortable with that.
As her thing?
Kind of. Like, I saw the possibility of it becoming my thing or our thing. Not necessarily my thing, but our thing. Considering that was important for her. But then when the conversation came to, okay, like, if we ever get married, how is this going to look like for our families?
Yeah.
And I even remember having conversations back then about like how to keep like the Jewish traditions in terms of like the festivities and just like the different celebrations. And I was like, well, you will be like responsible of that part. I'm not getting involved.
So that was part of the conversation. So I remember telling her, not to go far away from the subject, but telling her like, yeah, what if we want to have like Shabbat dinner every single Friday? And she was like, yeah, you'll be responsible for that.
Okay.
So it was a similar conversation in which she asked like, how is it going to look on our wedding? Are we going to pray in Jesus' name? And I was like, yeah, you could pray in Jesus' name and I will do the Jewish prayers. That was the conversation. But that led into us realizing there was way more that we acknowledged. Even though we were both Costa Ricans in a sense, we were both speaking Spanish, growing up in a Latin American context, our cultures should be somewhat the same. But as we started to go deeper and deeper into what different things meant to us, concepts such as family, love, God, marriage.
And just to make it clear, that's when we met you.
Yeah.
And that's how the program helped us, like, discover all of those concepts and what they meant for
this,
each other.
This sounds like a subject for a whole other podcast.
Yeah.
We'll do that. Just so people know, the work that we do is helping couples find spiritual harmony. And those mean that we help Jewish partners recognize that it's possible to maintain their Jewish identity, never have that threatened, but enhanced. And at the same time, the faith in Jesus becomes part of that spiritual harmony in the family. So that's a whole other discussion and well worth getting to. Here we wanted to focus on this very sensitive issue of what happens when a Gentile partner discovers that anti-Semitism and the hatred of Jewish people and Israel is deeply affecting a partner, and what does that mean for them? Val, conversation started because of your reaction to October 7 and in your relationship with Sam. You want to tell people what happened there?
Mm-hmm. Now, I think once Sam and I got married and all of those, like, barriers, they get, like, lifted up and they are, like, no longer there in terms of our relationship and just, like, love.
The challenges to finding a marital harmony.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
exactly.
So a lot of those are set aside.
Mm-hmm.
And new things are coming up.
New things are coming up. And so I think that just led me into a whole discovery of the history of the Jewish people in the diaspora and, like, they're returning to Israel. And it has been a key element, I think, in my understanding of the Jewish communities. And more than that, in the identity of Sam and how Sam perceives himself in the Jewish community. Yeah.
Had he ever talked about father growing up in Argentina and the anti-Semitism there?
I think it has been discussed, like, over Shabbat dinners when I visited him for Shabbat with his family. But I think more than that, he used to tell me that one of the aspects that made him move back to Israel and be there for a season of his life was the anti-Semitism he had when he was in the same university I was in. Back then, we didn't know each other. But just, like, the stories of professors saying some anti-Semitic things to him, asking and wondering about his last name, saying things about the Jewish community in Costa Rica. And at the beginning, I was so shocked that I refused in some ways to believe him. I was like, no, that cannot be possible because I studied there.
Let me interrupt here. Sam, what happened in your university class that you're sharing with Val?
Yeah, so I joined this school. It's one of the most important and prestigious in Costa Rica. And for me, from day one, it was hell. Because professors were constantly using anti-Semitic rhetoric, at least in the first years. I don't think that would have gone through the whole career, but the general classes that everyone has to take had a lot of teachers that had a lot of opinions regarding Jewish in Costa Rica.
Like what?
They will always mention that, I don't know, the Jews in Costa Rica are very powerful. They own all the companies. They own all the money, which is not true.
Mm-hmm.
As Val said, the Jewish community in Costa Rica is a thriving one. It's a community that only two or three generations ago arrived in Costa Rica as refugees with nothing on them. And they started working towards a better future for them and their mm-hmm. kids. But hearing those things about my community and also all the false information they will share regarding Israel in the classrooms, Israel being an occupation force or Israel being, you know, an aggressor in the whole Middle Eastern context, that was like something that happened constantly. And I even had one teacher that would call me a treacherous Jew in front of all the classmates. And
what did you do?
So I confronted them constantly. I was constantly acting back then. I was trained on how to respond. Like I was constantly, like it's sad because I'm just 19 years old and I've been for at least 5 years been learning on how to defend myself in situations like those. So now I am in the real world, let's say, like outside of the Jewish bubble. I'm going to college for the first time facing and meeting and building relationship with more and more Gentiles. And I realized that Costa Rica, which is a really peaceful country, Costa Ricans are actually pretty peaceful and in a sense, but then I realized even though they are peaceful, they're not necessarily towards me being openly Jewish. And I remember she was calling me treacherous and that I was...
The professor was calling
me a treacherous Jew in front of my classmates and telling me that she was going to fail me and that some of my classmates were failing because of me. Yeah, it was just a very confusing situation and I didn't know who to turn to. So at the end, I ended up dropping school and deciding I wanted to go to Israel.
That's incredible. And you know, we're hearing the same kind of stuff was happening on the college campuses where we're recording this. We're across the street from UCLA, where the events of 2024 saw just a virulent anti-Semitism that had apparently been going on in the classroom, and it spilled out into an encampment. So, Val, had you seen any of this anti-Semitism going on in Costa Rica?
So, I remember, like, some students... even back then, like trying to bring the topic of Palestinians in Gaza and the Israeli state, but I wasn't that involved. So I just like saw them here and there, but it wasn't like a thing. And then I never had like any experience like that, or maybe it was that I wasn't like aware enough to just like notice it. I think it most likely is the case.
So what switched after October 7 when you saw in the news what was happening in Israel first and the atrocities?
No, I remember the day we were having dinner and after we were done, Sam's dad started texting you and just like trying to understand what was happening. We saw some videos that were very hard to watch. And from there, I think the first reaction was like to pray together and just like comfort him. And I was also like in shock. So he was also like comforting me. But I think it was like the aftermath of October 7th and how like the narrative changed. And
the demonstrations on the street.
The demonstrations on the street, just like the intense posting on social media. I think just like the turn of events where they took like this event on October 7th and then they reframe it with Free Palestine.
You're talking about the Palestinian propaganda that came out afterwards.
Exactly. Yeah, so I think all of that and then just seeing how that affected my husband and how his friends from Costa Rica were not reaching out to ask him like, hey, how are you doing? And just like seeing them like posting on social media about things that they don't understand as well.
Yeah, my non-Jewish friends.
Yeah, your non-Jewish friends. Yeah, maybe they, I cannot say like, they don't understand it because I don't know. Like, I haven't necessarily, like, spoke to all of them. But I think, like, just as Costa Ricans, we, in general terms, we don't follow, like, from, like, politics or history of the Middle East. It's very far away from our general education. So, yeah. But it was just, like, to see my husband in pain about how his friends that know that he is Jewish didn't reach out to ask
him. Non-Jewish friends. You had, Sam, you had friends, Jewish friends from Costa Rica living all over the world who were in touch with you. And what was that like?
Among my Jewish friends, it was very hard. I think we were all trying to figure out what happened, that we were having a hard time understanding how it was possible that happened. But then as things started to get worse and worse, like in the United States, like it became more confusing even. Like, how is it possible that we share this common feeling of feeling abandoned by our friends and by everyone we thought as friendly? Because maybe like not only our friends, but you start to see like the musicians that you follow, people that you admire, people that you followed or you supported in their careers and things like that. And then you see them turning and talking about the Jewish people and talking about Israel. And you wonder, like, how long have they kept that inside? Mm. Like, while they were meeting you and sharing time with you, and then all of a sudden they feel so emboldened to go and say those things. It makes you wonder how long have they had that within themselves.
So you felt abandoned?
Yeah. And betrayed.
Betrayed.
Yeah.
Vulnerable?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's been a universal sense of being vulnerable among Jewish people in ways that we haven't experienced since the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
So Val, now you're attached to the Jewish community by marriage.
I am.
What have you thought about that?
No, we are always trying to bring hope. Something that I have understood from Sam as he like tells me and shares with me and just like different events that we have attended is just like the resilience of the Jewish community and the sense of hope in the midst of chaos and despair and pain. And that is something that we've also tried to bring into our culture as a family and as a marriage, trying to bring that sense of hope. But of course, I think it's been also like, how can I support him? Like that's been a question that I've had. How can I support him and how can I support my Jewish community?
How do you do that?
Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things for me has been to understand history and just to be informed and educated. Just learning like the history of the Jewish communities in the diaspora, learning the history of Israel and after the Second World War, and learning more about Islam and just like the political component of Islam in the region and how that has played out. I think educating myself and getting to understand better has been, I think, refreshing for me and for Sam in conversations. And also, I think it's good to understand what is it that your Jewish partner likes and how is it that they understand themselves in their Jewish identity so that you can like come alongside them and just like walk with them. Like how that looks like in our relationship is history. Just like learning more. Mm-hmm.
Hearing Val talk about the conversations you're having now about Jewish history, what does it mean to you to be able to share the history of your people, your own Jewish history with her at this point and then for the future of your, God willing, your family?
Yeah, so for me, my Jewish identity has always been one of the most important aspects of my life. It has defined most of the things I do, the things I see, the way I see the world, the way I behave, the way I relate to others, the decisions in general that I've been making throughout my life. So I remember when we were getting to know each other and I was explaining to her, like, are you aware that you are, like, if we're going to continue dating and this is going to move forward and we're going to eventually get married, you're getting married into this. And sadly, it might get to a point in which you will experience anti-Semitism. things might get tough, and it might get to a point in life in which they might be coming for us, as they did in Germany. And I remember she said to me, like, if that day ever comes, we'll run to the Costa Rican hills and hide there. And I was like, no, if that day ever comes, we'll run to Israel. Having that conversation, I think it was really important. But as I mentioned earlier, I never have ever guessed so early on in our marriage we were going to experience something as we have been.
In Tanakh, the Hebrew Bible, it says that God has made a covenant with the seed of Abraham, an eternal covenant. Does that give you encouragement for the continuing existence of the Jewish people today and into the future?
Yeah. Yes, it does. And we were just talking about this morning, about how even though this present moment feels very scary and feels very uncertain, and it's very hard to explain what's happening, and at the same time kind of worrying to see how can this get worse or escalate into other things. Now we have a different kind of peace, the one that is not logical, the one that is not, you know, looking for worldly signs, but that we know it's there. We believe it's there, and that peace, it cannot be taken away from us now.
And as you were saying about the covenant, something that happened like at the beginning of October 7th, and we were reading actually Ezekiel. And I remember just going, like, we were going through very hard verses when they were doing harm to the Jewish people back then. Mm-hmm. And even, like, the forms, I was telling Sam, I remember telling him, like, look, it's like seeing how God kept his covenant back then and the promise that he will keep it today.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very comforting.
And that's why we can say shalom, shalom.
Mm-hmm.
And trusted a perfect peace.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thanks to both of you for sharing with us like this. And we'll look forward to that second podcast about your story. This is Jewish Gentile Couples, stories of Jews and Gentiles who've come together finding spiritual harmony. We hope that this has been an encouragement and a help to you. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact us. You can reach out to me at tuvia@jewishgentilecouples.com. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.